Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
4:30 Sports with John Edwards. I trust you're doing well this week, sir.
Yeah, no complaints. None that anyone will listen to.
You're in the March Madness a lot, no doubt about it. What are the next few days looking like?
A Final Four where all four number one seeds made it, which is rare. It's only ever happened in 2008. So we've got Florida playing Auburn and Houston playing Duke on Saturday. And I kind of like a Florida-Houston final on Monday night.
Cool. When did you bust your bracket exactly?
Somewhere in the second round where I foolishly had expected Rick Pitino to last longer than 7 seconds.
I got it. In football, the draft is coming up. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think we're sort of heading into that as free agency winds down. The draft is set for the 24th. So we're a little bit early to think about it. And, you know, all the mock drafts will start coming out in the next couple of weeks. And there's nothing I like mocking more than mock drafts because they're all ridiculous.
They are. And it's sort of funny because I often visit the ESPN site. And yeah, there seems to be a mock draft every new day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're going to be running those until the end of time and deciding, you know, and trying to figure out who's going to trade for what. Like, yeah, okay, sure, you have no idea.
Right. Now, as far as the more important things in life, John, Aaron Rodgers, the watch is still on.
Yeah, he seems to be leaning Pittsburgh. Still seems to be a terrible fit in terms of team culture and all the rest of it. But it's sort of the one playoff contending team that's left that needs a quarterback other than the Vikings, who seem to have moved on. That sort of weird dance continues. Amari Cooper is still out there. He's probably the best one around. And the Giants made the Jameis Winston signing official. So he and Russell Wilson are their quarterback room for next year. So that's an upgrade over Daniel Jones and the weird Italian dude. So, you know, we'll see how that works out. You know, they may be able to complement each other well. So
got it. Patriots voted one of the worst franchises. And most of the players on that very team voted against the Patriots. How low has that franchise sunk to in the past few years?
You know what, I always love this survey the NFLPA does, because it's always sort of revealing what players actually think of the organization. And it gives an insight into sort of, you know, what they want to have around other than the paycheck to feel like they're treated well. And I think when the Patriots were winning, that papers over a lot of other stuff. And now that they're not anymore, some of these other things come out, that the fact that their weight room is not great and their training area is not good. And their facility, you know, in general, the facilities haven't kept pace with what the other teams in the league are now. And, you know, last year after it came out that the Patriots were this low, Robert Kraft committed to building a new training area, and that's still the process. So that hasn't opened yet, which is part of the reason why they're so bad. You know, I always find the survey really, really neat to see just exactly, in some cases, how petty teams are, you know, and just sort of find out kind of really what's going through players' minds in terms of, you know, how they want to be treated as, you know, employees.
Well, cry me a river of tears, really.
There is that.
All right, we talk at 5:30 right here on the Friday Drive.
Yep, sounds good.
Of course, there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to the Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.
Thursday, I don't care about you, it's Friday, I'm in. Wednesday, hard to tell. Thursday, never looking back. It's Friday, I'm in love.
A weekly news review with longtime Townships journalist Mike McDevitt on the Friday Drive.
It's time for the weekly news review. Mike McDevitt, not available this week. Townships born and raised Robert McPherson, who's worked extensively for Agence France-Presse, is here filling in. And from the Eastern Townships, how was your trip coming home last week?
Well, it was nice and smooth, and right now I'm looking out over beautiful frozen Fitch Bay, waiting for the ice to go out.
You know that thaws around July, you know.
Last year was April 10th, so I'm going to be more optimistic.
Okay, I got it. All right, Robert, so many things to talk about, a big week. Let's start with the tariffs. Liberation Day in America will probably go down as one of the greatest days in American history. This is, of course, the words of Donald Trump and that nicely staged event they had at the White House lawn this week.
Ever heard of the Heard and McDonald Islands? Some remote Australian islands off of Antarctica, populated only by penguins and seals. But for some reason, they've been hit with 10% tariffs under Donald Trump's Liberation Day plan. So, yeah, that's a real head scratcher there. Lesotho, down in southern Africa, hardest hit. They get the highest tariff wallop, 50%, for pretty much just exporting, manufacturing a lot of jeans for Levi's and importing very little else from the U.S. because Lesotho really doesn't have a lot of money to blow on a lot of fancy things to begin with. So meanwhile, to the world, baseline tariffs 10%. The average is about 25%, varies up and down, depending who you are and where you are and which side of the bed Donald Trump got up on. As we speak, we've got the stock markets are tanking pretty much everywhere. So is the U.S. dollar. On the other hand, the Canadian dollar jumped almost 2% in one day, no doubt for dodging the bullet with Mexico on reciprocal tariffs for now. Still 25% tariff on any Canadian-made or foreign-made cars and trucks going into the U.S., though, which is not going to go down well with the American consumer in due course. In fact, I think what we'll need to see going ahead is how much the American consumer is willing to suffer in a global recession in hopes that all this economic chaos is going to pay off in the way that Trump is promising that it will, all evidence to the contrary, notwithstanding. Certainly, yesterday we had Mark Carney speaking in very much statesman slash candidate mold, rallying Canadians to unite and get through all this together, while at the same time resetting relationships with the United States.
You lived in the United States for a while. How do you believe Americans are going to react to all these prices going up from one day to the next?
You know, it's hard to say. I'm not there now, but I think the reaction to these tariff announcements, which seem to be coming in waves out of the White House, resonates more outside the U.S. right now. I don't know if Americans have quite registered yet how this is going to affect their day-to-day lives. It could well be that you have more affluent Americans or, you know, have the money to absorb any increase in prices, or you may, and then you'll have the very hardline Trump people, MAGA people that will sit it out or be willing to accept it for out of loyalty to the man. But we can also say that, you know, we had some little signs in the by-elections or special elections, they call them, where the Republicans held on to electoral districts in Florida this week. But the Democrats won a much contested seat for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, despite Elon Musk throwing a lot of money at that campaign. As I just said, we'll have to see over time. I think it will take a little time for Americans to quite register how much this is going to impact on them economically and on their pocketbooks. And we'll need some more time there.
It'll be interesting to see, Robert, if the cult ever revolts. Anyway, Heather McKean Edwards is a professor in economics at Bishop's University. She's on the interview of the week coming up at 5:10. Now, with the election here in Canada, it's a historic election, Robert. The outside pressures have influence on the federal elections like at no other time. And a few weeks ago, the Conservatives were all but guaranteed victory. Now everything is upside down. You've been back in the townships for about a week. What do you see?
A lot of Conservative signs popping up on the telephone polls, a few Liberal signs popping up on the telephone polls. Kind of interesting where they spread out. I mean, down here in Stansted Township, I'm seeing the Conservative poster a lot. I see, actually caught a Bloc Québécois poster in downtown Magog, and Liberal ones are kind of scattered around elsewhere. But hey, let's look at the numbers. Thanks here to the 338 Canada poll tracker website that's run by Philippe Fournier at the Cégep Saint-Laurent, Montreal, and I recommend his work to anybody. From his data, it says it's now a 99% chance that the Liberals are going to hang on to Bromas-Siskwa and Compton-Stanstead and Sherbrooke, and a 98% chance that the Liberals will also take Shefford from the Bloc Québécois come April 28th. Also on the same data, though, they have the Conservatives on track to hold on to Richmond, Athabasca, and Mécanic-Lebrun-Lobinière. Can they make these writing names any longer? meanwhile, Drummond, it's 90% of the Bloc will hold on to that riding, where their main competition is the Conservatives. Federally, again, according to which way the polls are going, the Liberals are increasingly looking like the team to beat, despite Mark Carney, you know, getting a baptism under fire when it comes to retail electoral politics and making some embarrassing rookie mistakes. Probably thanks to the tariff announcement out of the White House, Mark Carney can probably be happy that no one's going to be thinking about that embarrassing episode with one of his Ontario candidates, Paul Chang, for suggesting that a Conservative candidate should be surrendered to the Chinese consulate for a bounty. That was pretty bad moment. I mean, Carney called it a teachable moment for Chang, who went ahead and pulled himself out of the race anyway. I would have said it was a teachable moment for Carney to impose some firm party discipline and show that he won't tolerate such nonsense on his team.
Finally this week, you had a chance to visit the Haskell in Stansted Derby. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm very attached to the Haskell. In fact, that whole area. I'm thinking now it's coming on almost 300 years since Colonel Kilbourne, who owned that vast farm on what is now so much of Stanstead went over to Scotland to get a farm manager called Alexander McPherson. So that's my great-great-grandfather. So yeah, I have a kind of attached more than a passing interest in what happens in part of the townships and in the Haskell. So yes, I'm back. And one of the first places I went back to was the Haskell, scene of that now infamous stunt by Kristi Noem, the U.S. Homeland Security Secretary, when she was dancing across the black tape that marks the border in the middle of the library. I can confirm to our listeners, there is now a freshly painted sign up outside the library on Church Street saying Canadians can only access the front door on the Derby Line side with a library card, and to do so only until October, I believe. But I can also report that the back door on the Canadian side, which has been a subject of very successful fundraising drive by the Haskell, is now open and welcoming visitors. So those signs are up. There's some more work to do, sort of like making a little pavement across the lawn, for instance. But it is a direct entrance into the Haskell where you come out right in front of the French comic book stacks. So you will have to weave away around the books until you get to the proper middle of the library. However, here's a puzzler. When I was there on the American side, no sign of the U.S. Border Patrol, which is the organization that, of course, imposed this new rule about curtailing Canadians using the front door with a library card. So go figure. The RCMP was there driving around Stanstead, as they are wont to do from time to time. No surprise there. I do want to give hats off, though, to whoever insisted that the roadblocks outside the Haskell on Church Street that leads into Derby are made of none other than reliable local Stanstead granite.
I'm really glad that you made sure to tell everyone about the comic book section. Well, that was pretty important, too. You're here for a few weeks in the Eastern Townships. A little different from the London weather experience, would you not say?
Yeah, when I left London, it had been a terribly gray, bleak winter. And of course, when I left, the sun came out and it was bursting sunlight. I think I saw something on social media today. It was a radar image of the entire British Isles, of the UK and Ireland, and there was not a cloud in the sky. I guess I just got back here to catch the end of the endless winter. Hopefully very soon, a bright and sunny and dry summer. And I say a dry summer because the mosquitoes in the townships are really at numbers far greater than I think you and I can recall over the years. I don't know, is there a way in impose tariffs on mosquitoes?
We'll look at that. Subbing for Mike McDevitt with the Weekly News Review and your London, England weather forecast, it is Robert McPherson. Thank you so much for your help again this week. Really appreciate having you.
My pleasure. Let's do it again soon.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca.
I've been watching you all night long. Help, help. I know you got your own thing going on. I can't help but think about what's on your mind. Wanna know what it would take to get inside. You got the whole spot wondering about who you are. Can have your pick, but I'm the one you want. So I'm about to make my way down to the floor, 'cause I don't think I can hold it back no more. 'Cause you're just fine going hypnotizing, head down to your toes, with your hands going down your back. Watch that body go. It's electric, 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 electric. You're so electric, 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 electric. Girl, you're looking so fine, and I bet that you know. You know, everything about you is all I want. The way you work in it, girl, I can tell you're bad. It drives me crazy when you lick your lips like that. Oh, you're just fine, going hypnotizing, head down to your toe. With your hands going down your back, watch that body go. It's electric, 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 electric. You're so electric. Electric, electric, electric.
room, leaving the sun in disgrace. Shining so bright makes me forget time and space. Yeah, and I feel like nothing, nothing can touch me now. In this moment, right here, no one can bring me down. Makes me wanna say, hey, yeah, yeah. I don't want this feeling to end. I wanna say, hey, yeah, yeah. 'Cause it's like anything can happen on a night like this, night like this, night like this. Contagious, am I, 'cause the feeling's contagious, am I contagious, am I, 'cause nothing can stop us, on a night like this, nothing can stop us, makes me wanna say hey.
Time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
Taylor McClure reporting from the Brome, Missisquoi region with stories for you from this week. Taylor McClure, how are you?
Hi, Daniel. I'm not doing too bad. How are you doing today?
Oh, just happy the weekend is here, you know?
Yes, same.
All right. A couple of things to talk about. Let's start with the sorting center in Bromont.
There's a new sorting center that it's going to be opening up to the public very soon in Bromont called Écoterie des Ourdis. So Groupe des Ourdis, which provides services for the housing, commercial, industrial, and government markets here in the Eastern Townships, Montérégie and Montreal South Shore, is preparing for the official public opening of its new sorting center specifically for construction, demolition, and renovation materials in Bromont. As I mentioned, it is known as Écoterie des Ourdis. So I had the chance to speak with Louis des Ourdis, who is the president of all divisions for Groupe des Ourdis, who explained that the sorting centers, the idea behind Écoterie des Ourdis started as a pilot project around 3 years ago with the goal of collaborating with contractors in Brome-Missisquoi to divert different materials used on construction sites from the landfill by providing them with the tools and equipment they need to properly sort these materials directly on the job site. So following the success of the pilot project, it became clear to Groupe des Ourdis that the construction of an official sorting center for CRD materials for the public and for contractors was needed in Brome-Missisquoi, which is why they got to building Écoterie des Ourdis. So basically, Écoterie des Ourdis provides industrial bins that contractors can rent out to sort their materials on the job site. So for example, they have separate bins for wood, plastic, gyprock, etc. And then these materials are brought to the Écoterie des Ourdis sorting center, where of course materials are given a second look over just to make sure they are organized properly. And then they are recycled or given a second life. So for example, Louis mentioned to me during the conversation that they take some of these materials and they put them on Marketplace on Facebook at a low cost for consumers if ever they need any construction renovation materials for their projects. Part of the project involves opening up the sorting center to the public, as I mentioned at the beginning of the conversation, by providing a reuse space where people can purchase some of these materials, you know, that were brought to Écoterie des Ourdis to give them a new life, or to allow the public to drop off their own materials that they want to get rid of rather than throwing them in the garbage. So Louis noted that Groupe des Ourdis is hoping to construct other sorting centers in different areas across the Eastern Townships to divert as much CRD materials as possible from the landfills. They're preparing to open up this space to the public. They're already starting to sort a little bit. So we'll stay tuned for that once its doors are officially open to the population here in Brome-Missisquoi. But it'll be interesting to see how the project will evolve.
We need centers like that more and more.
That's what he was explaining, yeah.
You also wanted to talk about Éducalois, the awareness campaign.
They are launching new public awareness campaigns around consumers' rights, and they actually reached out to CIDI to introduce themselves to the community here in the Eastern Townships and to talk a little bit more about these new campaigns. So we had the chance to speak with Ophélie Vincent, who is a lawyer with Éducalois, who explained that the mission of Éducalois for the last 25 years is to help make the law more accessible and better understood so that Quebecers can use it in their everyday lives to address certain situations that may arise. So she noted that Éducalois accomplishes this by publishing online content with over 1,600 articles available in both French and English around certain topics. And there's even other languages as well for certain articles. They also have paper guides, and they do in-person workshops as well in collaboration with community groups and libraries across the province. So community groups and libraries anywhere in Quebec, including here in the townships, can reach out to Éducalois if ever there's a certain right that is being affected on part of the population. So this is something that they do. And more recently, Éducalois is focusing on raising awareness around consumers' rights, as I said. So during the interview, we discussed one of the campaigns that has been recently published on the Éducalois website and which will be circulating, which focuses on cell phone contracts and the different rights that consumers have from the moment they sign a cell phone contract, amend their contract, and even cancel a contract. So I'm not going to go through everything and all the rights that people have when it comes to cell phone contracts. For those who are interested in learning more, you can go to Éducalois to learn more about their mission and to see the new articles that are published around consumers' rights. The reason why they decided to focus on consumers' rights at this time, it's because it is something that is being impacted here in the province, especially when it comes to cell phone contracts, because of course it's something that we use in our everyday lives. So this is something that they're putting out there into the public. And like I mentioned, if anyone's looking for more information, they do have a website where there's more details.
It's a crazy world, and boy, do consumers need help at times. Man.
Yes, exactly.
Taylor is heard on CIDI FM, Daily News Bits, and all on CIDI991.com. Taylor McClure, thank you again so much, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, Daniel. You too.
Townships forecast tonight, increasing cloudiness, low minus 5. Tomorrow, rain, high 7. Sunday, rain, high 9. Monday, long range, sunshine, high of 8 degrees. Ed Humphrey coming up just after 5 o'clock, the 5:10 interview of the week. Heather McKean-Edwards, a professor of economics at Bishop's University. 5:30 sports with John Edwards. 5:40 arts and culture with Sonia Patnode on the Friday Drive at CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.